If you'll take your Bible this afternoon and turn with me to Luke chapter 11, we're going to take a look back at Luke chapter 11, verse 28, and really continue on. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Let me begin in verse 27. As Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this afternoon in need, and our need is for greater filling of your truth. Lord, we need greater filling of your truth, and not only do we need the truth in our minds and in our hearts, but we need a life that reflects your truth. Lord, we need obedience to your word. We need a life that pleases you because you are worthy for every muscle of our body to be used for your glory. So as we look this afternoon to your word, I pray that you would work among us. Lord, I am the chief of sinners, and I know I need your work more than any. So would you work in my life, and Lord, also for my brothers and sisters that are gathered before me, would you work in their lives? And for those that are among us that might not be in the family of God, that might not have life of the Spirit, Lord, would you give them life? We thank you for your power to save. We thank you for your power to convert a stony heart. We thank you for your power to sanctify a person, conforming them more to the image of Jesus. And so would you work among us now. And it's through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that this is possible, and so it's through Jesus that I pray. Amen. Thank you. We're looking back at this passage of Scripture. Let me give you a quick review. First time we looked at Luke 11, 27 and 28. 27, we certainly said that breast which nursed you, it seems like her mind was focused on a blessing being like of the physical nature. Blessed is your biological mother, because she was actually, she's family by blood. And Jesus said, well, there is a greater blessedness, as he responds in verse 28. And so we certainly want to remember that we might have a lot of ideas of true blessedness. What does it mean to be truly blessed? But we need to go to Scripture to find out what that is. And so Jesus will clarify what true blessedness is in verse 28. Jesus said in verse 28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." It is a blessing to simply hear the word of God. You remember the statistics. Maybe there are 2 billion people in the world that have never heard the word of God as it relates to the gospel, how they might have a right relationship with God. So you all are blessed because you've heard the gospel. Also, it's even a further blessing, a greater blessing, if you truly hear. Not just that the information goes in your ears, but you receive that information, and it doesn't just stop in your ears, but you respond to the gospel. So it's a blessing to truly hear, for God to open your ears. And then, in conclusion, last time, or the concluding point was that it is a blessing to keep the word of God. It is a blessing to keep the word of God. And that's where Luke chapter 11, verse 28 ends with Jesus says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." and keep it. So let's try, by God's grace, to get a hold of keeping the Word of God. Keeping the Word of God. I think that as we consider this, keeping the Word of God, it must begin with obeying the gospel. Like I said that before, Jesus said, the work of God is that you believe in Him whom He has sent, so that you truly trust in Jesus the Christ, the atonement for your sins, that you repent of your sins, you believe in the gospel. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Begin to certainly respond to the gospel message. It's a blessing to truly believe on Jesus. And keeping the Word of God involves saving faith. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So what people are those, according to the Scripture? The people whose sins are covered, those that are forgiven, are the people who do not work for salvation, but they're the people who believe in the Lord who justifies the ungodly. And Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as also David speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteous apart from works. So I'm going to say it again because I believe it's that important. Keeping the Word of God begins trusting on Christ, depending upon Him, not placing your hope in anything else for the forgiveness of your sins. Sometimes we are tempted to say, I can do something as it relates to my sin that will satisfy the wrath of God, or will make God happy with me because I have sinned against Him. And we know that in our personal relationships, we do things. We ask for someone to forgive us. We begin to act towards them in a better, more healthy way, more loving way. We do this with our family members and our friends. We begin to act more loving towards them. And we say, you know, that kind of repairs the relationship. But we have to remember who God is. He's a God of justice. And so His justice must be satisfied. He's a perfect judge. Every sin will be perfectly punished. And so just doing a few good deeds and saying, well, I'll try to do a little bit more good than I've actually ever done bad to maybe my good deeds that way, my bad deeds, are not going to work in the courtroom of the judgment seat, the great white throne of judgment. That will not work because guess what the Scripture says? The wages of sin is death. And if you have transgressed in one letter of the law, it's as if you have transgressed the whole law. And Jesus gave us the true understanding of the law. It's not just the letter, but it's the spirit of the law. And so Jesus went further and said things like, okay, well, you say that you've never murdered. Guess what? If you've had hatred in your heart toward a brother, it's as if you've murdered. That's the spirit of the law. Or thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, you've never done the physical act? You've never been in that situation? Jesus says, if you've looked on a woman with lust in your heart, then you've committed the sin, in essence. So we see that all of us are guilty, but we can also, by God's grace, His infinite mercy, He has sent His dear Son. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Keeping the Word of God must begin with hearing the gospel, must begin by hearing about God's means of salvation that He has provided through His own beloved Son, and responding to that gospel, trusting on Christ, repenting of your sin. It must begin there. But I think there's more, and I did have a very helpful comment after the first message that encouraged me, saying, I want to hear more about Keep It. So you are in the right place at this moment, because the scripture says more about keeping the word of God than simply receiving the gospel. And that's where we'll look. That's where we'll look for the rest of our time this afternoon. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Keeping the word of God does not stop with believing in Jesus or obeying the gospel by saving faith and having a true life of repentance. Keeping the word of God involves a fruitful life for the Lord and obedience to the Lord. So what does it mean to keep the word of God? The general meaning of this word keep here, to watch, to be on guard, and so by implication, to obey the word of God. That's from Strong's, and Help's Word Study says to keep watch over, to keep secure. And so they say this emphasizes the needed vigilance to keep what is entrusted. There's got to be for the Christian a focus upon the Word of God. Not just going through life, staggering here, there, and if I happen to get a little conviction, oh, I'll try to respond to that conviction. But actually, on the other hand, we need to have a focus on a watching, a vigilance upon the Word of God in order to live a life that is pleasing to Him. So a general meaning, but what about from the Scriptures and the usage in Scripture, particularly on this idea of keeping? Keeping. Keeping has to do with watching. That's one aspect. Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. All of you want to have the blessing of the Lord, don't you? I do want to be truly blessed by the Lord. Jesus speaks of true blessedness. And so how can we get a hold of what it means to keep? Keeping has to do with watching. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. We know, or at least we can imagine what the shepherd's work would be, keeping watch. Again, from the words to Help's Word Studies, referring to the uninterrupted vigilance shepherds show in keeping their flocks. They continually watch the flock. They keep an eye on the sheep. They are keeping the sheep. For us, are we keeping the word of God? I could ask myself that. You can ask yourself that. Well, one way to know if we're keeping the word of God is, are we watching the word of God? Do we have our eye to the word regularly? Are we paying attention? Looking intently? Do we have vigilance? We're watching closely. I do know this much. If you have no interaction routinely and regularly with the Word of God, then you will have difficulty watching this closely, I think, as the Scripture would encourage us to. Keeping has to do with watching. Also, keeping has to do with guarding. Keeping has to do with guarding. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. There was a man possessed by a demon, and he was in a terrible state. Let's begin back in verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, when Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. Luke chapter 8, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded, Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him, he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. This kept, out of verse 29, he was kept, kept bound in chains. You get the idea of the purpose of the chains was to guard this man, to restrain him, to have a hold of him. We need to have a hold of the Word of God. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Not just watch it intently, but keep it. This guarding, the guarding of the Word of God. The chain was meant to guard the man and keep the man restrained. May we guard the Word of God closely. So keeping has to do with watching and guarding, and ultimately keeping has to do with obeying. Keeping has to do with obeying. And I hope this is for you, I hope this is leading up to our understanding of true blessedness as Jesus communicates out of Luke chapter 11, verse 28. I hope that by the end of our short time together, we'll be able to see what is the wisdom of God in Jesus, God in the flesh, saying such a thing. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So keeping has to do with obeying. Luke chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, verse 21. Verse 21 is where we see the same word that's used in Luke 11, 28 used. But let's back up to this rich ruler that had a question for Jesus. Verse 18, Luke 18, 18. And a ruler asked him, Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." Verse 21, he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." What is he saying? I've obeyed these commands of God from my youth. Of course, Jesus went on further, and Jesus could see the heart. Jesus could see that he had not obeyed the gospel. Jesus could see that his keeping of the word of God has not begun in the proper place. It began by observance of the letter of the law, but yet his love was greater for something else. The rich young ruler's love was greater for his possessions. And when Jesus said, "Just go ahead and sell everything that you have, distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me," he heard these things and he became very sad, verse 23, for he was extremely rich. Jesus knows. Jesus knows why you live the way that you live. If we are living a life of obedience to the commands of God, based on a heart that wants to honor the Lord, based on a heart that is so thankful for the grace that he's given us, the forgiveness of our sins, he would know then that our obedience to him would be a good thing. Jesus would also see if we went to the scriptures and said, well, I can see there's some commands here. God says to keep these things, and we began to try within our own power to obey these commands. And God would say, God ultimately would see that that was not out of a heart that had been regenerated, but that was out of a heart that was just trying to observe the law, just trying to fulfill the demands of the law. It would be empty obedience. So keeping the word of God begins by obeying the gospel, having a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. But oh, may our keeping of the word of God grow and grow, and may the word of God become more and more precious to us. May we see why God would give us such good commands and his purposes. All these I have kept from my youth. Some of you, and some of you currently might be in the state of youth. All of you have passed through this state. You might say, well, I was a pretty good kid. I didn't get in too much trouble, or I'm not currently getting in too much trouble. That ultimately does not matter as it relates to your right relationship with God to begin. For you first must receive the gospel. But because you have received the gospel, if you begin to want to live a life of holiness and walk in the way that Jesus walked, obeying his Father, then when you say, all these I've kept from my youth, if you're keeping them because you realize that you couldn't keep them, but you want to keep them so that God can be exalted and that he can be honored, you're at a good place. But if you're simply just trying to be religious or observing rules, please, first, go to Jesus. Keeping has to do with watching, guarding, and obeying. So are you looking to the Word of God closely? Are you cleaving to it? Are you clinging to it? Are you guarding the Word of God in the sense that you certainly don't want to let it get away, and you want to be careful to live according to what the Word says? And then that will make its full fruit in obedience to the Word of God. Are these things happening? Because blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. So what is your life look like? There are other scriptures that speak about keeping the Word of God. Jesus spoke about keeping the Word of God in John chapter 8. Turn with me there to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, John 8, 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or if you continue in my word, and again, I think this goes along with this idea, if you keep the word of God, then you will, this is a sign that you have received the gospel. There is evidence of grace in your life. You will know the truth. And if you know the truth, if you've received the truth at soul level, if you've responded to the gospel, then that truth will set you free. And we have many freedoms here in this country, and I hope that we're all very, very thankful for them. But freedom of soul, the Lord setting us free, being free indeed by the truth, there is no other freedom. For you can be in chains and experience the freedom of the Lord. This is what we want to get at the heart of the matter. We want to mine it out. Keep the word of God. So Jesus says, abide in my word, or continue in my word. John chapter 12, verse 47. John chapter 12, verse 47. If anyone hears my words, Jesus speaking, and does not keep them, or if anyone does not believe these words or keep these words, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But it will matter. It will matter what happens with the word of God. If anyone hears my words, does not keep them, or does not believe them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. So this is the word of God is eternally important to knowing the God of the word. And it's eternally important to the state of your soul. Jesus had something to say about keeping the word, to believe the word, to keep it, to receive it. Paul says to Timothy many things about keeping the word of God, keeping the deposit or the testimony given to him. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Turn there with me. 1 Timothy 5, 21. First Timothy 5:21, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. So I charge you to keep these rules. Paul to Timothy, we look at what has been listed there about the widows, and we learn also things about elders at that point. And he says, keep these things. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules. And that would be without prejudging or doing nothing from partiality. Don't apply the word of God to one person in one way and to a different person in another way based on your relationship with him. We need all of the word of God. Keep these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. What is this deposit? We would consider it the words of God that had been given to him. First, the good news of the gospel, and then all the implications of the gospel. Look, avoid irreverent babble. See, the word of God is a certain group of words, and then there are other words that we have in our lives, sometimes that are even in our own mouths, or we let come into our own ears or into our eyes by way of reading, and much of other words other than the word of God is nothing but irreverent babble and contradictions. And so guard the word of God. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, 2 Timothy 1, 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Do you get the idea? King James translates that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You get this idea of the importance of keeping the word of God? This is evidence that we have, one, received God's grace, that we have begun a true relationship with God in the sense that we have been adopted into the family of God because we carefully watch, we guard, we keep these words. Don't take God at his word lightly. This is his revelation to us. How else will you know him? It's by the Word and the Spirit. That's how you know Him. That's how He's revealed Himself to us. Paul, to the Thessalonians, he gives a very serious statement about keeping the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just turn back or forward, however you want to consider that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Well, the letter he's referring to is what we consider also to be the Word of God. And if someone does not obey the Word of God, then take note of that person. Have nothing to do with them. In what way? That you just quit communicating with them? No, don't act like all is well if they're walking in sin. If they have a lifestyle of sin, bring them back. And then ultimately, if they won't hear you, then don't have anything to do with them. Let there be some seriousness about disobedience to the word of the Lord among you. Of course, don't regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother. I need you all to warn me when I'm not walking according to the word. And you all need me and others, or some other brother, to warn you if you're not walking according to the word. So this is serious. But how is it a blessing to keep the word of God? We could say, and it is true, that God said it, so we should do it. That is true. God gives the commands. He is free to require of us whatever He wishes. He is free to do that. And we should obey without an explanation. But you know what? God has given us an explanation on why we should obey. What is the blessedness in keeping this word? And so as we look to a couple passages of Scripture, I hope that this will just start your thinking as it regards the blessing of hearing the word of God and keeping it. We'll look at two areas. The first one is, it is a blessing not to covet. It is a blessing not to covet. Let's spend a little time here, and we'll do that by looking at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. So turn there with me. Couple examples, and this is just the beginning for you to see the blessedness of keeping the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Let's get a little context. We'll begin in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Luke chapter 12, verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he, Jesus, said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, verse 15, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." What did Jesus say there clearly in verse 15? Be on guard against all covetousness. Beware of covetousness. And then what can we say by way of command? We can even think back to Exodus 20, verse 17, when it says, "You shall not covet." And it gives many examples of things we shouldn't covet. Neighbor's house, wife, servants, animals. Don't covet. Well, what does that really mean, to covet? Jesus gave an explanation of what it means in the following verses. Luke chapter 12, he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced plentiful. And verse 17, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." He said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him," verse 20, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So what is covetousness? Helps Word Studies says that you can put two words together in the Greek. The words literally mean numerically more and have. To have numerically more. In this word for covetousness in Luke chapter 12, verse 15. So to desire, or the desire for more things. Have you ever had a desire for more things? Just think about this now. Lusting for a greater number of temporal things that go beyond what God has given you ultimately. More things. To have more. And I said, how is it a blessing to keep the word of God? Thou shalt not covet. You shall not covet. It is a blessing not to covet. God is good to give us these commands. What is the blessing? It is a blessing to watch, to guard, and obey the word of God that prohibits coveting. When we keep this portion of the word of God, there is blessing to be found. But if we were to desire and lust after a greater number of temporal things, then we can quickly be caught up. We can be consumed in more and more and more. And you ask the richest people on the earth, how satisfied are they? For a person's life does not consist in the things that he has. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, seeking after more and more and more? But rather, we can not covet, but when we're tempted for more and more, we can quickly repent and turn to Jesus. And he satisfies. He provides satisfaction that no temporal thing can provide. I know that there is temporary pleasure in things that we can experience here. But there is no pleasure compared to Jesus Christ. Satisfying your soul. Realizing that he has loved you with an everlasting love. That he would lay down his own life. And that life is not going to just be in this 100 years we might walk this earth here and now, but this is a life forevermore. And he says that where I am, you may be. He says, I am going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and take you to myself. You see that there is a blessing that is everlasting. So how is it a blessing to keep the word of God? If you just read the letters, you just looked at the bare letter of the command, thou shalt not covet, you wouldn't get anything out of it. But then you hear Jesus saying, blessed rather is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. And if you keep the command not to covet, you can now begin to find satisfaction in Christ. You don't have to run with all your might after more stuff. For it will not satisfy. Maybe even tonight, your life will be required of you. You know, what does it matter? What we pile up here. It might be gone like that. And God has then gloriously, graciously given us his word, shown us how if we keep his word, there will be great, great blessing. And then I'll look at one other thing, and you can keep going through the scriptures over and over and over and see the blessing of hearing the word of God and keeping the word of God. But you know what? It is a blessing to work. It is a blessing to work. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're getting very near to our conclusion. And I want you to see this. That these are not empty words on that Jesus is speaking here. Blessed, rather, is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. And it's not just to respond to the gospel. But once we have received the gospel, then the word continually is important to us. For there is blessing in the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. For even when we were with you, even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly, and to earn their own living. Now those are pretty strong words, and someone might get offended at that. And they say, well, I want to do these other things. Well, Jesus speaks of true blessedness in this hearing the word of God and keeping it. So we can hear that much. And our second to last verse, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. As we put the teaching of Scripture together, the Word of God, we begin to get more and more understanding of it, and then we'll see a greater and greater blessing in it, ultimately in keeping it. The one who does not work should not eat. And then it says here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let the thief no longer steal. Ephesians 4, 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. There's blessing in work, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So you say, oh, I'm scraping by. I understand there are circumstances and situations in life that get us down, and things can get certainly tight financially. But the Scripture says to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. And the Scripture says that Jesus said in the Word of God that it's a blessing to hear the Word of God and keep it, to obey that commandment, to work. And so here we see that let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, have something to share with anyone in need. We're starting to get at the blessing, you see. It's not just that I have something for myself, but then there's something to share. And the last verse, Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I hope you can see the blessing here. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do you see how the Scripture can go together? You might be scratching your head when you only hear Luke 11:28 and say, what's the blessing in keeping the Word of God? Well, one, it's simply obeying the Lord, living for His glory. But it goes further than even that. God has given us reason of even here and now for the blessing. If you don't covet, then you're not going to kill yourself trying to pile up some more junk. Rather, if you don't covet, but you're satisfied with the things the Lord's given you, you can then go to flee to Christ for satisfaction. Don't look for satisfaction with acquiring more. And then the Word of God says also it's a blessing if you work. So you say, well, I don't work much. I don't work much because I don't spend much and I don't need much. Well, it's more than about what we need. Ultimately, it's about what our family needs, and it's about what others might need, because it's more blessed to give than receive. If you work a little more, then you'll have something to give. And then when you start this giving process, you start living sacrificially for the sake of obedience to the gospel and in the way that God says to live according to his word, you get this blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I hope that you will apply this to many, many other commands of Scripture. Keep going through and looking at them all. If you scratch your head, you say, I cannot understand why the Lord would want me to do this. Quickly, and I'll close, such as the Lord's Day or the Sabbath. I'll tell you this much. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. If you're a slave to one day a week because you think the Scripture teaches you that you've got to come to church one day a week out of seven, you don't understand the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It's a blessing to us. God realizes what we need. He set things up in order that it will be good for us and glorifying his great name. It's a blessing not to covet, and it's a blessing to work. It's a blessing to rejoice in the Lord on the Sabbath. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you will fill all of our life with your word. Oh God, may we hear more of your word. May we watch, may we guard, may we obey more of your word. Thank you that in your word we find out about how we begin a relationship with you. And Lord, I also thank you that in your word you tell us so much about how we can live in a way that is a great blessing to us and is very glorifying to you. May we live for you alone. We know that we have been bought with a price. The price was the perfect and precious blood of Jesus that was poured out. We know we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. So now, Lord, would you grant that we would glorify you with our body? It is more blessed to give than to receive, and blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Would you help us to keep your word? It's through Jesus that I pray this prayer, by his name and his power and his perfect blood. Amen.